What the hell was this?
That is an excellent question. And also, who the heck are we? Well, I'm Bobcat. Which is Grumblese for Berkeon. And this is the 5-Point Podcast, and welcome to the conclusion of Cutie Honey Month.
I still don't know. Like, we haven't done a review in a month. What have we been doing?
Oh, Burke. Burke's ignorance is because of the rule that we have, which is we aren't allowed to compare the shows to each other until we've actually gotten to the end. Now, we're at the end, but next week we'll have a quick little special with our rankings and thoughts and such.
Until then, I have no idea what he's talking about.
So this week we looked at Cutie Honey the Live. You might say, why is an anime podcast looking at a live-action show? Because it's part of the Cutie Honey franchise.
Why does that matter?
Oh, Burke, you silly goose.
I'm serious! Why?
Alright, point number one.
First impressions. I'll go first this time around just because I actually knew what this was going into it, kind of. I had heard of Cutie Honey before from Bobcat, actually, and then I got good internet, so I decided to try to find it, and I found something called Cutie Honey the Live an eternity ago. And I watched the first episode, and I didn't really watch any more episodes. So, yeah, let that say what it will until we actually get to the review.
Yep, my first impressions is, I remember that Professor Otaku had reviewed the show, and he had some good things to say about it. I don't remember at this point exactly what those good things were, but he had them to say about it. And
yeah.
That's pretty much all I knew, aside from it being a slightly dark, not like Kamen Rider-y show, or toku show is more accurate.
Yeah, it is kind of a toku show, isn't it? Don't know where they could have gotten that from. Let's move on, then, to story!
Okay, some weeks our watch the first three episode thing works out really, really nicely. Because a lot of shows by the, you know, let's see here. Average show's about 24 minutes. So by the hour and 15 minute mark, give or take, most shows usually have some idea of what's going on.
This show knows what's going on, it's just not telling us.
It's just telling us very gradually.
This is one of those shows where the plot is seeded across the entire series, for better or for worse. So, what we're stuck with is apparently a magical robot girl that can transform and change her outfit, and she's fighting
Panther Claw. They do say who the villains are.
Yeah, they don't explain anything about them, though, except for the fact that they're all cyborgs, I guess.
At least the minion who had his hand cut off was.
Yeah, and I'm guessing Mr. Triple Personality is. I don't know about English, dude.
The villains have an interesting MO. They're basically in this for craps and giggles.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they have a bunch of wealthy people who make bets, and they're always deadly bets. Like, we're going to give three people in different prisons across the country super weapons and see how long they can last after they escape.
Yeah, and then another one was, was there actually a point to giving that one guy a cybernetic arm?
No, I think they were just doing prototypes for other stuff.
Yeah. They're jerks.
Yeah.
I know this is a funny thing to say about villains, but these are not nice people.
No, it's, you know, they're super villains who are like the Rhino, where they just want to knock over a jewelry store and have some money to go to the bar with their buddies with.
Yeah.
Then there are villains like these who actively enjoy human misery for no reason aside from boredom, it seems.
Yeah.
I think the biggest dick move plan was they put out a bunch of booby-trapped bags with 1 billion yen in each of them.
Mm.
And if by a certain time the victim hadn't brought the money into the police, there was some sort of poison gas that would be released and kill them.
Yep. Yeah. Not sure what they would have done if the person hadn't been there at that exact time, but, you know.
Another thing about this show is that it seems to rely on superhuman timing bordering on precognition.
Yep, or rigging. Or rigging. As was addressed as an issue.
Now you might notice, wait a second, you're talking all about the villains here. When does Cutie Honey come into it?
Ha ha ha! We'll cover that in character.
Yeah, not until 20 minutes into the first episode. Our protagonists are the titular Honey, although she really seems more like she's the muscle for the brains of the operation, who is a detective who is intentionally a hobo.
Yep. Because, you know, he has hobo legions.
Right.
What was it, 8,000 strong across Japan?
Wow, is that what they said? I kind of missed that.
Something like that, yeah. There's some ludicrous number of homeless people who's part of the network. It's like the Legend of Korra, only actually good.
Good might be taking it too far, but...
It's like the Legend of Korra, only actually good.
Alright, so let's get on to point three, characters.
Yeah, well, I think we should start with clearly the most interesting, defined, pretty much the main character. He wins every battle, he's in every episode, he gets all the focus, Triple Personality Man.
A.K.A. Yuji Nakajo.
Or whatever really the hell his other names are.
Yeah. Man, this guy is a really good villain.
He's schizophrenic!
And they have very interesting voices. He has three personalities. One who's just sort of serious.
He's the normal one.
The normal one. Then you have the one who talks and acts like a spoiled teenage girl.
Kinda, yeah. Or just a little boy.
It's like he's hitting on himself, is the impression I get sometimes.
Sort of, yeah. I can agree with that. And then he has the psychotic psycho self.
Yep. And each of them seems to be able to manifest a different bladed hand weapon.
Yep.
One is bladed feathers, the other one it looks kind of like a pterodactyl hand or a bat hand.
We didn't get to see what the regular him has.
If the regular him even has anything.
Yeah. But he's a really competent fighter. He's the one who rigs up all but one of the games. The last one in episode 3 is done primarily by the English dude, who we'll get to.
Right, though we won't have much to say about him either.
No. And that's about it. He's very dynamic a character. He's interesting. I'm curious what they'll do with him.
Yep.
And speaking of English dude, there's English dude!
Who seems to be... Okay, the villain's organization is called Panther Claw. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be higher in the organization than Yuji.
Or at least he seems to be better at his job.
Yeah, it's... I'm really sorry we don't have more details to give you, but... The show is very stingy with them.
I guess that's a... I think that's a bonus, I guess. You know, you don't want to go all the way on the first date.
There are no skippable episodes so far.
No, and the episodes only get better as they go along, I think. Still, we're straying into final thoughts here. English dude, he talks in English for the most part. He looks visually interesting, I think. He's very, very, very vain. And... that's about it.
So let's get on to the actual titular character. And that's...
Seiji?
No.
Okay, Seiji.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about Seiji.
Okay. Seiji. He's a private eye.
And
that hangs
hobo.
Out with hobos. Yes.
Who? He intentionally renounced wealth. I think he said he had wealth.
Yeah.
He's an innocent... Actually, yeah, very innocent guy. Like, at one point, they're infiltrating... And these don't exist in the U.S. as far as I know. I guess it's sort of like high-class Hooters. If the Hooters waitresses weren't waitresses, they would sit down at the table with you, hang out, and encourage you to buy things.
Yeah.
I've seen these in a few anime and stuff, but I don't know what to call them. Hostess clubs, I guess?
I guess. But, he gets enamored with one of the girls beyond any reasonable thing.
Right, even though he should have known better. He knew what kind of place it was.
Yep.
So, for a detective, he's kind of naive.
Yeah. But, his heart's in the right place. He tries to do the right thing. He's pretty brave, all things considered.
Yeah. Considering he keeps wading into situations that he has no business wading into.
Yeah, he single-handedly got involved in, like, what, 2 or 3 cyborg situations? And that's just what we've seen.
Which is very strange, because given that personality, you think that his opposite number would be a serious, no-nonsense person who grounded him.
No, instead his opposite number are hobos! Our other character.
The hobos collectively.
Yep. They are collectively a whole bunch of hobos who know how to cook strange food.
Like snails, frogs. Yep.
Yeah. They gather all of his information for him. They pretty much do everything for him that they can without actually putting themselves in harm's way. And he cares very deeply for them as well. Then we have another main character, Natsuki, who's a schoolgirl at some school.
Oh, now you're just being silly.
And she goes to school and has glasses for some reason. And
well, presumably she has vision issues.
I would guess, and she lives at a mansion for some reason. And then we have another main character, Mickey, who... Was she the rich girl who's not rich?
Okay, let's cut this out. These characters, I don't
and
really know.
And then we have the least important, least focused on, least developed character, Cutie Honey.
Yeah. I'll admit, she annoys the crap out of me.
More than not.
Basically, the issue is that...
She is mentally 6 years old.
And we've used that to describe characters before.
But she really is. She doesn't get any more serious when she's Cutie Honey, but I actually think that's a benefit, I guess. Just because otherwise I'd be begging her to just stay as Cutie Honey all the time.
So you're saying that you just would rather have the annoying character the whole time rather than the annoying character who occasionally...
I prefer consistencies.
She's basically fan service, the one who actually fights, though she loses every time.
No, she... Not every time. She... I have to object to that for one reason. She's only ever lost to Triple Changer Dude, who is clearly one of the mini-bosses, or maybe even the final boss, we don't know. And, quite frankly, if your hero can take on a general at episode 1 and come out smelling like roses, something's wrong with your villains.
Yeah, I suppose. It's just sort of obnoxious that...
Kind of like if Goku took on Frieza back when he was on Earth.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But at the same time, it keeps feeling like nothing is being accomplished.
And then episode 3 happened.
And that ended on a cliffhanger.
Well, I more so meant she won the fight.
Oh.
You know, pretty decisively.
Sort of.
Not sort of.
She won a tactical victory, but suffered a strategic loss, let's say.
Well, emotional.
It could be both.
No. But, still. That's Cutie Honey. She's really annoying, really hyper.
It is at times almost endearing, just because...
She's really sincere.
She's sincere, and, like... These girls at school are bullying her, and she just does not get it.
Yeah, she doesn't... She either really, really, really doesn't get it, or doesn't care. And it might honestly be a little bit of both. But she's very naive.
Yeah, and way too energetic. Like, just to give an idea, a couple episodes, she knows some really obscure information, or at least she's able to rattle it off to a great degree of efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she jumps up on her desk and says, "Yay, I got praised!"
Yeah. For the record, no other character in the show enjoys that aspect of her.
No, and that's sort of funny in itself, is that everybody is annoyed by her, except for Seiji. Seiji doesn't seem to mind her.
I don't blame him, honestly.
Yeah, considering that she's his muscle and keeps him alive.
I wonder how they met up in this.
I don't know. We didn't get that episode yet, if we ever do.
Well, anyway, so, yeah, that's the characters.
Not a whole lot to say just yet.
No.
Point four, presentation.
The action's nice. It fits her character really well.
Yeah, this is a very well choreographed show.
Yeah, the fight scenes are pretty energetic. They go really well. Good.
There's a lot of creative bits.
Yeah. She uses her powers in an interesting way in episode 3.
She actually uses her environment to her advantage. Like, I think my favorite bit in, it was either episode 1 or 2, she's standing at the top of a set of stairs, a villain takes a jumping, like a leaping kick at her, and she just ducks out of the way.
So, you know, the fight scenes are really good, which is important for this kind of show. The villains look really cool, I think.
The costume is good in general.
Yeah, considering they're trying to go for a more realistic look, I think. I don't really... Okay, music is...
I really don't like the theme song. To play ignorant for a second here, it sounds like they had some sort of regular theme song that sounds nice, but then they added a layer of stupid rap break to it.
It's not even saying that... Like, you can have a good rap song. They exist, obviously. But not this. This clashes horribly with the main theme. And it does not integrate well. If you wanted to do this, you could, but not like this. This looks like they tried to staple two cats together. And they're just screeching and yowling at one another.
For those of you who listen to the Top 40, Flo Rida has never come out with anything as disjointed as this.
I don't know why you would listen to the Top 40, but whatever.
Most of the Keep Up with Todd in the Shadows.
Let's see here. What else?
So here we have action. Okay, acting. I have no complaints whatsoever about the acting.
No.
Aside from actress Miki Hara as Honey, and I believe that that was a directing decision, and she's just playing that part as well as you can.
Yep. To be fair, she's really good at acting the part.
Yeah, she has some nice facial expressions and stuff.
Yep.
It's like, I really believe that she is mentally sick and has nothing going on in her head.
Yeah,
which is a bit like saying, man, the chef did such a great job. This steak really, he meant to burn this steak and cover it in chocolate sauce, and man, this is one burnt chocolate steak.
I really, really, really hope she's not like this in reality. Really don't. Otherwise, I'd feel bad about them exploiting her.
Yeah. I mean, heck, let's be honest. If she is exactly like the character is, she did this part for a few pieces of string and a pat on the back.
The string she immediately gave away to a homeless man.
Here, I'll get you a few thousand more of these and we can make you a blanket.
Oh. So, yeah. I think that's about it for presentation, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll bring this... Oh, I have one more thing to say, but I'll bring it up in point five, final thoughts.
I'll let you go first.
Okay, I can't say that this is a bad one, just because the villains are interesting. Like, they're villainous in a particular way that I enjoy, which is callous, uncaring villainy. Like, you just want to see them fall.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interesting mysteries going on. I like Seiji, because he's a nice, sincere character.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the drag on this show is Cutie Honey, which is strange, considering that she's the titular character, but there you go. It's just a bunch of little annoying things about her. When she fights, she makes these little squeals that sound like a dog. Like a dog that you put in a purse.
Yeah.
A lot of the first episode is spent pointlessly ogling girls from the neck down because they decided that their setup for her was that she was having school measurement day.
Or something.
Which, okay, that really didn't add anything to anything at all.
No, it wasn't even good fan service because they were wearing pretty frumpy clothes. So
yeah, it's just...
Plus also, you know, high school girls.
Supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly. She does not look like a high schooler.
No. I guess she never has.
No.
But the thing is that this is a, you know, if you're looking for a toku show and you either seek out or don't mind cheesecake, this is a good one. Like, I've liked this better than a bunch of the modern Kamen Rider shows I've seen.
You haven't seen any.
I've seen a few. Actually, this kind of reminded me of W, or Double, however they put it.
Double.
At least with the detective thing.
Mm.
It's like, I would recommend this one over Double, personally.
Okay. Well, I guess that's time for mine, and... it's okay. I know some things that's going to happen later on in it, though I don't know when. That makes it a little bit more interesting, and... if this sounds like something you'd want to watch, go ahead. It's not offensive, exactly. I think.
Maybe mildly.
Yeah, probably mildly. It's got some interesting villains in it, though, some interesting characters, and...
Oh, and you do actually see a nipple in this one, so this one is not for the under 18 crowd.
At least not officially. But it is not of the title character herself, though. It is of a other woman. We won't go into that, but yeah, I recommend it. So, check it out, I guess.
It hasn't been released in the U.S. officially, so... Yar.
Yar.
And if asked.